Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is especially important to say after a gospel reading like this one this morning, right? There are a couple words Jesus uses here that when I hear Jesus use them, I get a little nervous. I don't know about you. Words like division and fire. When Jesus says those, I start to sweat a little bit. So I want to look in at these two words today and kind of unpack those and see what's going on and why Jesus would use this language. To do so, I want to start by looking at what Jesus has to say about peace, division, and other places. If we look in other passages in the gospel, we hear things like this. In John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Again, in Luke chapter 7, after healing a woman, he said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In Luke 10, when he sends the disciples out two by two, he says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And then at the end of Luke's gospel, after he had risen from the grave, and he shows up and it says, while they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. So it would seem from reading in all of these other places, and I could go on, that Jesus is trying to bring peace to this world, and he is a peacemaker. But then you hear what he says today. He says, do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? And all of us right here want to say, well, yes, Jesus. But he says, no, I tell you rather division. So what's going on here? Is Jesus contradicting himself? What's he mean by this? Well, I think one thing that's helpful is to realize there's a big difference between having the intention or the desire to bring division versus coming to do a certain kind of work that one knows will inevitably result in division. Do you see the difference there? It's like, on the one hand, saying, I don't want peace, I want division in this world, versus saying, I do want peace, but I have some important work to do, and I realize that's going to bring some division. There's a big difference there. And I think the latter is more what Jesus is getting at today. And if that's the case, then what is this work he's talking about that could cause division? Well, a little bit of context of where this text lies. The reading we heard today is in the end of a larger passage in Scripture. This is a long conversation going all the way back into chapter 11 and spanning chapter 12, and it lies toward the end. And all throughout this, Jesus is very boldly calling out the scribes and the Pharisees here. This is the part where he says things like, woe to you. And in the middle of it, it tells us that there's this large crowd that was gathering around. It says by the thousands. This huge crowd was gathering to watch this exchange. And in the middle of it, a man steps forward and asks Jesus to settle a financial dispute between him and his brother that they could not agree on about inheritance. And Jesus gets even more frustrated and starts going off about greed and warning about storing up treasures for yourself on earth rather than treasures in heaven. And in the beginning of this scene, we kind of get a clue as to what sparked it all and what he was really critiquing the scribes and the Pharisees about. You see, at the beginning in verse 42 of chapter 11, he says, woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds, and yet neglect justice and the love of God. Neglect justice and the love of God. And at the end of this section, spoiler alert, they're not very happy with him. Right? He's calling them out and they're angry. It says they became hostile and tried to catch him in saying something wrong. And so we can also look back and remember at the beginning of Luke's gospel. If you remember when we started off the year with Luke's gospel, in chapter 4 is the scene where Jesus comes out with his public ministry for the first time, and he's invited to read from the scroll of Isaiah in his hometown in the synagogue, and he opens it up, and what he reads reveals his mission, reveals the purpose for which he came into the world. And he reads in Luke 4:18, he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free. This was his mission, to go about this work of bringing righteousness and God's justice to the world. And if you remember that story, at the end, they chased him out of town. And here in the text today, Jesus speaks out against the evils of greed and self-righteousness and the exclusion of the other, whether that's lepers or those who are sick or disabled or the Gentiles or the Samaritans. He speaks out against Sabbath laws that would ignore the needs of the most vulnerable who are in need in that moment. And like the words of the prophet Micah In Jesus' life, he did justice, he loved mercy, and he walked humbly with God, his Father. But as a result, many hated him for it, condemned him even, and led him to the cross. You see, what Jesus was doing, working for justice and mercy, it caused division. And we see the same in the lives of the early Christians. Martyrs that we hear Paul addressing and speaking about in the Hebrews reading today, those who refused to offer sacrifice in the early church, they refused to offer sacrifice to the pantheon of gods in the Roman Empire, which was the law of the land. You were supposed to offer sacrifice to the Roman gods and to worship Caesar as a son of God, as a divine being. But the early Christians refused to do this because they knew the truth of the one true God. And because of it, they were killed for it. And it caused division. In our own heritage, we see this kind of pattern in the life of Martin Luther, right? In his day, he saw corruption and the abuse of power in the Catholic Church of his time, and so he stood up for truth and justice and the truth of faith in God and mercy, and he stood up against all of those who were, or in the face of all those that were being exploited in his day, against the heinous practice of withholding forgiveness unless someone could pay for forgiveness through indulgences. And he said, this isn't right, and he fought to change that, to change these things, and he was hated for it. He had to hide for his life. It caused division. It was inevitable. And we can see this pattern throughout our Christian history. But I think Jesus, nor those in the early church, nor Martin Luther, like you and me, none of them desired division or persecution, right? Like you and me, they desired peace. But the problem is that anyone who finds themselves in a situation where they have to speak truth to power, if power has lost the way of justice, is going to be met with obstacles and with division. And so we see in Jesus' life that he stood up for the marginalized and the oppressed of his day. He challenged the status quo of his time. The early church stood against the Roman Empire, and Martin Luther took a stand against the entire Catholic Church of his day. And today, this is still our call. To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And sometimes this holy work is rewarding, and it's joyful, and it's beautiful. But sometimes this work is incredibly hard and challenging because it sometimes means speaking truth, uncomfortable truth, when we see injustice in the world. And that is never easy, and it almost always causes division. I really resonate with this gospel reading where Jesus talks about family being divided. Because I'm a Christian, and as such, I see the world in a certain way. I see human beings in a certain way because of how I live my life trying my best to follow Jesus. But not all of my relatives feel this way. I have some extended family that I'm still close to, and we still connect once in a while, but they don't believe the same things, and they don't see the world the same way. So what I find is because I'm a Christian, when I go and I visit and I spend time with them, I get a little uncomfortable because I hear crude jokes or blatantly racist remarks, or I hear them talking about people in need as if they're less than human, and I have to stand up and I have to say, I'm sorry, I can't talk this way. This isn't how I see the world because I'm a Christian and I see things differently. It's uncomfortable and it causes division. We still love each other, we still have a relationship, but there's a rift there. And for a while that bothered me, but I've grown to see over time how the family that I maybe am not so close to in that way, I have a different family in Christ. When you see the early church talking about one another as sisters and brothers, as family, that language really resonates with me because what I've learned over the years is that my sisters and brothers in Christ, those with whom I share a common mission, a common purpose to serve God in this world, feel a lot more like family to me than sometimes my own family. And it's a beautiful thing because we know that our unity is not bound up in what we think or how we act, but our unity is bound up simply in this, in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and our call to serve. So that's what I think Jesus is getting at a little bit when he talks about division here. And then there's this other word, though, fire. This word's almost more frightening than the word division to me. And that's because depending on how we hear it, it can mean some pretty scary things, right? Fire, we could be thinking about things like destruction or God's wrath and vengeance, this fire and brimstone kind of an idea. But the thing is, more often than not, when we hear the word fire used in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, it's most of the time referring to the fire of the Holy Spirit. it's used in this different way. It's the fire of the Spirit. It's the fire of purification, burning away that which doesn't matter and leaving behind the most important part, revealing what is pure and important and holy and true, right? So when you look at the beginning of Luke's gospel, again, when John the Baptist is out baptizing and doing his work, do you remember this? He said, I baptize with water, but one who's coming after me, who is greater than me, is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, right? And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down upon the disciples. Do you remember the story? As it comes down, it said it looked like tongues of fire, right? Coming upon them, the fire of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus says, I come to bring fire to the earth and how I wish it were already kindled, it's probably he's talking more about the fire of the Spirit, that fire that's going to burn away the things of this world that should not be here and leave behind what God wants for the world, the fire of baptism of the Holy Spirit that melts away the impurities so that we can be reborn, recreated, renewed in the image of God. In particular, Jesus is alluding to his baptism on the cross. The fire that he will kindle there is a fire that will purify the entire world. And so while this text is troubling at first, while it can sound harsh, I see a lot of hope and promise in this text as well. Jesus is bringing the fire of the Spirit to the earth, to our lives, to refine, to burn away injustice and hatred so that love and mercy and justice can flow. And this also tells me that no matter how far I might get off track, that God will never give up on me, that God loves us too much to simply let us remain where we are. We hear it said a lot in the church that God loves you just the way you are, and that's true. God loves us all, regardless of any good or bad that we may or may not have done in our lives. God loves you just the way you are, but that's not the whole story. The whole story is that, yes, God loves you just the way you are, but God also loves you so much that God won't let you stay the same forever, that God wants you to continue to grow and develop and become the person God created you to be, fully and completely realizing this Holy Spirit potential, the God-given gifts in your life that God has given you to serve, to love, to do ministry, to do the work of the kingdom. And so just like fire is used to form glass and to purify precious metals, the fire of the Spirit works on us. I mean, you think about clay. Clay is sculpted and formed into something, but then it's the fire of the kiln that makes it beautiful and smooth and strong. God sees us in the same way. God is the sculptor working on our hearts, on our lives, bringing purification, to that fire of purification, to strengthen us, to beautify us, to make us into who God wants us to be, not who the world reduces us to be, but who God created us to be, formed in God's image, continually dying to sin and rising in Christ again. Why? So that we can do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So sometimes when we hear texts read, scripture, it brings comfort and peace. Sometimes it brings some challenge and some struggle. But that's the way of the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit is a dove, and sometimes the Spirit is fire. And we might get a little burnt, but we allow God to work on us, refining and reforming us so that we can then work for God, serving in the kingdom. Amen.